Hebrews chapter 11, please. Hebrews 11. I always have this joke with Mike Watson. I say, now, you're not supposed to wear your costume after Halloween. He always tells me I wear mine every day, and I do. Anyway, enough of that. Hebrews chapter 11. We started a series on the life of faith last week. And what I want to do in this series is to show you a demonstration of what faith is all about. We preached a number of weeks in Genesis, and we talked about different Bible characters when we went through Genesis. And when you come to Hebrews 11, you see the interpretation of those characters that we talked about in the New Testament in Hebrews chapter 11. The Bible in Hebrews 11 gives us a description of faith in verses 1, 2, and 3. And then beginning in verse 4, the Bible gives us a demonstration of what faith is. And the way the Bible demonstrates faith is by talking about different people in the Bible and how they came to God, how they worshiped God, what they did with God. And so that's what we'll be doing here today. Now, I want you to look at Hebrews 11, verse 1. We'll read these verses, and then we'll get into our message this morning. First one of Hebrews 11, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good testimony. The elders are the people that we're going to be talking about over the next few weeks. The people in the Old Testament that we're going to be talking about, that's the elders. Verse 3, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible. And so the person we're going to talk about today is seen in verse 4. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead, still speaks. The old timers used to, when they would preach this verse that I'm going to preach today, they would title this message a sermon from the dead, from a dead man. And the Bible tells us that Abel being dead still speaks. And so since that is true, and if that is true, and it is, then what does Abel say to us today? Well, that's what we'll be talking about here this morning. In talking about faith last week, I talked to you about the reality of faith and the reality of your faith and my faith. You know, another word for faith would be belief, trust. When we talk about believing in God, believing in Jesus, trusting in God, trusting in the promises of God, that's just another word for faith. And so faith is a very important word. But we talk about the reality of faith. And we said the reality of faith comes down to this, knowing God. We know God through His Word. We see evidence of God in creation. And so we understand God that way. And then the root of our biblical faith is simply hearing from God. We hear from God, you know, through His Word, through the teaching of His Word, so forth. And then we talked about what we talked about was the result of faith. And really, the result of faith is the will of God. It's being obedient. I know God, I hear God, then I'm obedient to Him. And so that's the reality of faith. And these people we're going to talk about, we see all that. We see the reality of their faith. We see the root of their faith. And then we see, you know, really what faith was to them and their obedience to God. In Hebrews 11, we're given this demonstration of faith, and that's how we understand faith. It's important for us. If we are saved by faith, as the Bible says, then it's important for us to understand, you know, what faith is. So that's what we're going to talk about. If you look at verse 4, there's just a, a progression in this outline. And for any preacher, this is a, you know, this is a good way to outline this verse, and that's how we'll do it today. But you see the progression of three things. You see the progression here, first of all, the true sacrifice. Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice. Secondly, you see the progression here of true righteousness. He obtained witness that he was righteous. The approval of God is what he gained. And then the third point there, he being dead still speaks. And so that's the progression of a true witness. So a true sacrifice, true righteousness, true witness. We see this in Abel. Now the first point I want to talk about, and the way that Abel talks to us today, is that he made a true sacrifice. The background of the Abel story is found in Genesis chapter 4. The Bible tells us in the process of time that Abel brought a sacrifice to God, that his brother brought a sacrifice to God, and simply what that means to us, that they came to worship God. God received the sacrifice of Abel, but he did not receive the sacrifice or the worship of his brother Cain. Now here's what's important for us about the story. And what I'm talking about here today in bringing to God this sacrifice, think about it this way. What do we bring to God in worship? That's what it means to us today. What do we bring to Him in worship? Well, what we learn from the story in Genesis 4 is that there was a place of worship. There was a time to worship. And there was a way to worship. Now, where did Cain and Abel learn that? Well, God told Adam and Eve what they were to do in worship. So they passed it on to their children. And so it's passed on to us. And so what we do today, we do the same thing in the biblical way. There's a time for us to worship. There's a place for us to worship. And there's a way that we worship. So the Bible tells us in the Old Testament that sacrifices were very important. In Genesis chapter 3:21, the first animal that was killed for sacrifice was killed by God. Because you know what he did? He killed an animal to make a covering for Adam and Eve. So the Lord provided that sacrifice for him. If you look at the Bible as sacrifices really from the Old Testament to the New Testament, what you see is this. You see a highway from Genesis to Calvary. Adam's lamb was one lamb. Later, the Passover lamb was a lamb for a family, one family. The Day of Atonement, you had one lamb for the nation. And then a little later, Calvary, one lamb for the world. Amen. John 1:29, when John the Baptist saw Jesus, here's what the scripture says. The next day, John the Baptist saw Jesus coming to him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, and takes away the sin of the world." Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. The purpose of the blood was to point to the death of Christ on the cross. He is our only sacrifice. He died on the cross. He took our place. The body of Christ was sacrificed on the cross for your sin and my sin. So when you understand the story of faith in Abel, what you're understanding is this. He worshiped God in the right way. What we understand from the Abel story is that there's a way that we worship God. There's a way that we come to God, and that is through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross for us. He died there as our sacrifice. I talked to you last week about this book that Lee Strobel has written, The Case for Faith and The Case for Christ, are two books that he's written. In that book, what he did was to interview Charles Templeton. And as I said last week, Charles Templeton started out as a buddy with Billy Graham, and they were big buddies and everything, but eventually Templeton decided to walk away from his faith. He walked away from God, he walked away from his faith. And so what happened was that Lee Strobel went to interview Charles Templeton. And in this interview, here's what Templeton said. He said, Christians are a small minority in the world. Approximately 4 out of 5 people on the face of the earth believe in other gods other than the Christian God. Templeton said this, are we to believe that only Christians are right? He walked away from his faith. As Christians, we have a faith. We have a belief. We have a trust. We believe in the promises of God. Are we to believe that we are right? Yes, we are right. Why? Because we believe the Bible. We have faith in the promises of God. We believe in the Word of God. John 14:6, to answer Templeton, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me.
That's right. Amen.
There's one way of faith.
Amen.
A biblical faith. There's one way of true faith. There's one way of trust. There's one way to worship, and that is through Jesus Christ. Later, what Lee Strobel did in the interview, he really demonstrated the power of a photograph. And he asked Templeton, he said, why did you walk away from your faith? What was it that really triggered this thing about you walking away from faith? And he said, really, you know, where it began was I saw a picture on the cover of Parade magazine of this woman somewhere in Africa, and they had been dropped. And because of the drought, there was starvation, and there she was, you know, looking like a person who hadn't had food. She held in her hand her dead child, and he said, that's really what did it for me. He said, why would a loving God allow anything like that to happen? And so that was the beginning of his journey in walking away from God and walking away from faith. And so Templeton asked, Strobel asked Templeton, he said, would you like to believe in a loving God? Now at this point in his life, here's a man that, you know, started out with God, but for all these years he walked away from God. He's 84 years old. He has Alzheimer's. He's on his deathbed in this interview. And here's what he said. He asked him, he said, would you like to believe in God? Templeton said, of course. If I could, I would. He said, I'm 83 years old. I've got Alzheimer's. I'm dying, for goodness sakes. But I spent my life thinking about it, and I'm not going to change now. And as far as we know, he never made that change. As far as we know, before he died, he never came back to his faith. He never came back to God's way of worship. He never got back to that place of God's way of faith, God's way of belief, God's way of trust. He walked away from all of that. 75% of Americans believe that many religions lead to eternal life. The Bible makes it clear there's only one faith, there's only one belief, there's only one trust that gets us to heaven, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The Bible tells us in the book of Genesis that Abel came to God the right way, that his brother Cain did not. Oprah Winfrey said this, and this was an interview with Christianity Today on April the 1st, 2002. Here's what Oprah said. She said, one of the biggest mistakes we make is to believe there's only one way to God. There are many diverse paths leading to God. What the Abel story demonstrates to us, that there's one way. There's one way to God, that is through the sacrifice of His Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross for us. Abel made the right sacrifice. He came the right way. Number two, in Hebrews 11:4, the Bible tells us that Abel obtained the witness that he was righteous. In other words, he obtained the righteousness of God. The way we understand that is that the way to understand righteousness is just a simple way. There's a lot of theological stuff here, but what it means is this, that we're right with God. That my sins have been forgiven. That I've accepted Christ, that I believe in Him, so I'm righteousness. I have no righteousness on my own. You have no righteousness on your own. You see, Abel was a shepherd. His brother Cain was a farmer. They had different occupations, but what they had in common was this, that Abel and Cain were both sinners. The Bible teaches that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So when those two boys, when those two brothers in Genesis 4 came to worship God, they were the same as far as how they stood before God. But what made the difference was faith, obedience, trust, belief, and coming to God the right way. You see, Cain's mistake was this. He was not willing to acknowledge his sin. Abel acknowledged his sin. He brought the right sacrifice. He came the right way. So that is the only difference. One was obedient. One was not. Cain didn't get the approval of God in Genesis chapter 4. The Bible says when he did not, you know what happened? He got angry. And he walked away from God. And he walked away from that place of worship. God came to Cain. And in Genesis chapter 4, you see this in verse 5, verses 6 through 7. And what he says there, what God says to him, says, if you do well, Cain, then you can come back to me. You know what that implies? It implies this. They were not ignorant of what God required in worship. They were not ignorant in what God wanted them to do. And so it wasn't the fact that Cain didn't know what to do. It was this. Cain thought he could come to God his own way. Cain thought he could establish his own way to God, his own religion, do things his own way. And God says, no, that's not it. That's not it. And so the Bible says that Cain became very angry. And then you know the rest of the story. Later what he did was this. Because of his anger against God, who he could not kill, then that anger was turned to his brother Abel, and the brother that he could kill, he killed his brother. He would not come God's way. Abel thought he could go his way to God. Now, what the Bible does, you know, there's a lot of theology in this, but basically what Abel attained was the approval of God. When you trust Christ and you believe in Christ, you know what happens? Then you receive the righteousness of Jesus Christ. The Bible calls that the imputed righteousness. In other words, it means what happens is we receive a right standing before God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And therefore, when we die, and He asked us, why should I let you into my heaven? We won't answer because of our righteousness or because of our goodness, but because of your Son, Jesus Christ. And because we put our faith and trust in Him. That's how we receive the approval of God. And then the Bible says here, thirdly, in Hebrews 11:4, that he being dead still speaks. So what does it say to us? How does he speak to us? Well, his obedience said that he did it God's way. That's how he speaks to us, that we should be obedient. It was his faith that he believed God. He was willing. He did it willingly. He came to God that way. And then he brought his very best to God. So when we worship and we come to God, then how do we do it? Well, we do it the same way he did, in obedience, in faith, willingly. We do it willingly. We bring our best to him. Now, listen. We don't bring animal sacrifices. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, the animal sacrifices were done away with.
Right.
Jesus is the ultimate sacrifice. Those sacrifices in the Old Testament pointed to one thing. It pointed to the cross of Jesus Christ. It pointed to Calvary is what it pointed to. And so Jesus came and He was our sacrifice on the cross. Here's what God wants from you today and what He wants from me. Here's our sacrifice. Listen to Psalm 51:17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. That's what He wants from us today. He wants us to acknowledge our sin. He wants us to be broken. He wants us to be humble. He wants us to come to Him in that way and to acknowledge the fact that we need Him and we need His forgiveness. And because of that, we want to worship Him and give our best to Him and be obedient to Him. Listen to Hebrews 13:15. Here's what we bring to God. Here's our sacrifice. Through Christ, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips that give thanks to His name. You know what that verse is saying? You know what our sacrifice of worship is this morning? We do it continually. Not just, you know, every now and then, not just monthly, not just yearly, but continually. We do it sacrificially, not just when we feel like it, but when we don't feel like it, we offer that to Him. And then it's something that is audible. See, the Bible says the lips of our praise. Not only what we feel on the inside, but it's what we voice. You see, in worship, here's what happens. Worship, in part, is listening to what God says. That's what we're doing here this morning. We do that. Worship is music. It's what we hear in music, the songs that we sing, the songs that we hear. It is through words that are spoken, words from the Bible, words of encouragement from each other. That's worship. It's through fellowship one to another. The encouragement that we get from each, that is worship. That's what we're doing here today. But it's also responding to what the Word says to us. You know, it could be something that in one of the songs today that spoke to your heart. It could be something in this message today that speaks to your heart. That is worship, see. It could be an encouraging word that someone said. That is worship, fellowship in the body of Christ. And then in Hebrews 12:1, you're familiar with this. Here's what it says. The Bible says that we are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice to God. He says, which is holy and acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service to Him. So what is that? I offer my body to Him as a living sacrifice on His altar. And the Bible says when we do that in worship, you know what happens? Then our body becomes an instrument of His righteousness to be used for His glory and His honor. That is the sacrifice that we bring to Him. Now, let me bring this to a conclusion here. We all have a choice to make. See, Cain had a choice and Abel had a choice. Cain chose his way. I was reading in that book, The Case for Faith, and Strobel went on, you know, he got away from his interview with Templeton, and later on in the book he started referring to different well-known atheists. And there's one quote from this well-known atheist that kind of stuck in my head about making a choice is what I want to share with you now, because that's what we're talking about. We're talking about making a choice. This well-known atheist says, if it means for me that I have to believe in some blood of Christ, that I have to believe in a sacrifice of Christ, if it means for me that I have to believe in a resurrection, if it means for me that I have to believe in a virgin birth, if it means for me that I have to believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven, then let me die and go to hell. He made a choice. That is the way of Cain. If you want your way, you can have your way. And God says, if you want your way, then I'll give you that freedom. I'll give you that liberty to do that. But you see, what Abel did was to choose God's way. Cain's way is the bad way. Abel's way is a good way. Abel's way is the way to heaven. It's the way to God. And so we have a choice. We can accept it. We can believe it. We can put our faith in it. We can trust it. Or we can do like these others that I mentioned today and walk away from it. God is standing today inviting you. He's not willing that any would go that way. He's not willing that any should perish. But in His grace, He's saying, come to Me. Believe in Me. Come with your doubts. Come with your questions. Just as you are, come to Me. Let's stand for our prayer. Father, we thank You today for Your Word. We thank You for the truth of the Bible. Father, we preach today about a man in the Bible by the name of Abel. And in Abel, we see what it is to come to You. We understand what it is to worship You. We understand through Abel that there is a way that we come to You, which is the only way, and that is through Your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for those today who need to take that step of faith. It could be that they have thought about this and that today they want to make that decision. Today they want to make that choice to come Your way, to believe Your way, to trust Your way, to put their faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Father, I pray that they would come today, take that step of faith. Lord, for believers today, I pray that You'd help us. Help us to understand that what You want is a living sacrifice. You want our body. What that means is You want our lives dedicated to You, to be used for You. And Lord, in doing that, we bring honor and glory to You. Father, I pray that that's what we'll do. That we'll make that commitment to be that living sacrifice that You want us to be. That in our worship, when we sing together, when we praise You together, that it will be the fruit of our lips, as the Bible says. And that it will be an honor to You. And it would bring glory to You as we worship in spirit and in truth. Not just when we feel like it, but when we don't feel like it. We give You honor and glory and our praise. In Your name we pray. Amen.
Come every soul I see.